Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast, the podcast that will help you embrace, grow, and be transformed by the transitions of life. Now here's your host, Debbie Ronka.
Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. I'm Debbie Ronka, your host, and today I want to talk about a unique transition. It's a unique transition of those who feel called to leave the corporate world and to step out and start their own ministry. To help us understand the dynamics and also to share how she uses a unique process to help those who want to embrace this type of transition, I have Melody Barker as my guest. She is passionate about developing leaders and has created a Developing Leaders in Ministry Bootcamp, where you will learn how to lead with confidence, maximize your impact, and grow your organization. Melody has created the Soaring System so that you can have the most important and relevant teachings to help you continue to develop as a leader in the ministry. As a John Maxwell Team certified speaker and coach, Melody understands leadership development and discovering your personal potential. Understanding these elements are key to bringing any organization or individual to their next level of success. She is also certified as a financial coach with Dave Ramsey. Melody believes that clients need a well-rounded and strategic approach to both personal and business growth. Welcome, Melody, to the Transition Bridge Podcast. I'm really looking forward on hearing today how you are helping those that are feeling that call to start their own ministry. This is a huge leap of faith to me. They're leaving a place of what's known and comfortable and branching out to do what they believe God is calling them to do. So thank you for coming with your coaching expertise. And I'd love to hear first, what drew you to want to work with ministry leaders, and then share with us your process?
Okay. Thank you, Debbie, so much for having me be a part of this podcast. I'm excited to be here with you, and I do consider it an honor because I think with all the people that you know and the reach that you have, you really could have anybody on your program. So thank you for inviting me to be on. This, to me, helping people move from being in a corporate setting to into a ministry, you know, and it could be for some people it is ministry, and some people it could be a nonprofit that doesn't necessarily fall under the ministry that we would say, like, that's organized with churches or, you know, the similar. But so for the most part, that's who I help. I do help people who really believe that God has called them into ministry, but they're not sure what that looks like, or they have really maybe just this idea in their head, but they can't figure out how to take that idea or that concept or the impact that they want to make, and then put the steps in order to see those things be completed. And so what I found, and really even I'll back up a little bit further. So about 14 years ago, I actually started helping a family member with their ministry, and I have a legacy of ministry. And so that I never really thought it would be something that I would be involved in. I always felt, you know, I would get married when I was really young and have kids, and my family would be the, you know, my ministry, that kind of a thing. And family is still ministry, even though it hasn't necessarily developed how I saw it happening in my 20s. And so at the age of, I think, 24, 25 years old, I started traveling with my family's ministry, helping them. And it was 100% as a volunteer. And it was really, I think, God just saying, like, hey, would you go and just serve? And I think he used that kind of like as a, like the bait on the hook to get me interested in ministry, because before I really necessarily wasn't interested in it and was more interested in, I want to do something more corporate and I want to climb a small ladder, you know, kind of a thing, create success and be comfortable and have security. And most of those things don't necessarily come when you're working full time in ministry. You get a lot of fun and satisfaction, but it doesn't necessarily, there's no ladder to climb, and there's not always the promise of financial security. So there's definitely a risk and faith element that is involved. So how I got started. And then from there, I really just saw the ability to help bring an organizational skill set that I have. And when I was younger, I always tested really well with, like, the spiritual gifts test. I was high in administration, but I wasn't in a position where I could demonstrate those skills. And so with this position becoming full-time within the ministry, it opened up the opportunity for those skills to be able to be used or to be utilized. And so I started with just small things, you know, helping us get started on time, to helping attendance grow, to organizing, you know, the theme. So it was just kind of a little bit by little bit. And really, now that I can look back on it, now that it's, you know, 14, 15 years ago of doing this, I can see that every little bit of it was a step that I could learn so that I could teach it to somebody else. And so that's really how developing leaders in ministry came together, was I saw that there is a really big gap for some people, and for some people, maybe a small gap, that there is just a learning curve, or that gap between knowing that they are called to ministry and that they feel like their purpose is to be in ministry in some sort, but they don't know how or what that knowledge looks like to go from, I have this idea. So they have ideation of the ministry, but they don't know how to implement it and get it going. And so really that's where I found where I could say, hey, everything that I've learned over the last, you know, 12, 14, 15 years now, I can write a book and share this with people. I can have conferences and train people. And that's what I started doing. So I literally started doing a workshop. It was a one-day workshop that then turned into a, well, I have people who can't stay for the workshop, so I'll put it into a book. And then I found that the book was really like the high level bullet points of what people needed to know. And so I was like, well, if I break it down even further and ask people, like, where are you struggling on getting your ministry off the ground, or what are you finding to be that obstacle that you can't seem to get past? And so then just from doing research from leaders that I'd helped before, that's how I created Developing Leaders in Ministry, the boot camp course, so that people can have a really great leadership course that also covers what I call the nuts and bolts of it, of your vision, your mission, getting your bylaws in place, getting your organization into the position where it can grow, and being able to create a ministry that can soar without it being a burden to you. Because that's when you don't know what you're doing exactly, things become harder, and they become where you feel like you're pushing that rock up a hill. And that's not what God has called us to do. When he calls us into ministry, there is a sense of responsibility, because you're caring for other people, you're bringing other people closer in the relationship to God. And we never want to put that where we carry the full weight of that responsibility. Like, it is up to God to grow and develop the ministry, but we need to be a good steward of that mm-hmm. calling and of that purpose.
I love what you shared, because it's so important to understand, yes, that this is, sometimes you could feel like you're walking uphill. And I'm sure you've heard that I always refer to transitions as being the bridges in life that are taking you from where you currently are to that next season or direction. And I look at that bridge in two ways, and I'm thinking about the leaders that you're helping make that transition. First, it takes courage to step up on that bridge. And so my question to you is, what are some of the common fears or struggles that people have to even step up to begin the transition? And then what happens as well, as, you know, once they do find that courage, they begin to move across the bridge. And what I was hearing you saying is, you know, they're realizing, oh my gosh, this is getting difficult. And this is what I call the messy middle in the bridge, where sometimes our limiting beliefs and our mindsets just start becoming magnified. The things that we fear and doubt, and we may want to give up and turn around and just go back. So tell me how you help those that are wanting to leave the corporate world and come into either a nonprofit or a ministry. How do you help them in those two different stages, getting up on that bridge, actually taking that dream or that thought that they have, making it a reality? And how do you help them when they get to that place where they say, this is more difficult than I thought. I'm not sure I'm called to do this.
I love this question. And what's funny is the comparison, because the bridge really is a great analogy, especially when you think of it being high over something. So you're going to be dealing with the fear of failing or the fear of falling. And I think that that's one of the, and really even before even getting to that fear, most people have a mindset of they're not sure they can do it. So they have a limiting belief within themselves. So that's a mindset that we specifically work on in the Developing Leaders Ministry course, And my pastor in Tennessee would always refer to them as mind monsters. So the little creepy thoughts that come in, and not necessarily creepy thoughts, but the thoughts that come in that tell you that you're not good enough, that you're not called, why would God use you instead of using somebody else? And what difference do you think that you can make? And so really throughout the course, we talk about recognizing those thoughts and then reframing those thoughts so that you can eventually shut down the mind monsters so that you can combat them with confidence in the truth of God's word. Because the truth is, whether you're in ministry or you decide to stay in corporate, every person has a specific purpose. And sometimes your purpose really does lead you across that bridge of being in corporate into the nonprofit and ministry space. So it's one of the things that I focus on in the course is that self-development and recognizing those obstacles. And so those mind monsters are going to be the obstacles that we want to deal with right off the bat. And then even getting into a place where we write out our own affirmations and taking the truth of God's word and reframing them into the I am statements. And I help people write those and create those for themselves. Because at the end of the day, when you feel like you didn't make a difference or you're still struggling with those thoughts, when you can combat that negativity with the truth of God's word, the truth of God's word wins.
Amen.
He is always faithful and he always turns things around. And so when I talk to people, and even recently, just within the last several months, I helped a couple of leaders who they were working in a different nonprofit, and they didn't like the way that the management was being done, or the way funds were being allocated, and the way that the overall vision was being carried out. And they said, you know, we want to be able to do this differently. We want to do this the way that we feel like God's called us to do this. And so through a mutual friend, we got connected, and I've helped them launch their nonprofit. And right now, if you're interested in that, the government is so backlogged in trying to get nonprofits approved, that what I love is working with a company that helps speedline the process. So you can start functioning as a nonprofit way earlier with a tentative approval already in place. So that helps speed up that transition from, I have this idea, to I need to be able to get this going. So it puts you in a position where you can start fundraising earlier, that kind of a thing. And that's where I think that's probably the second big encounter that people start to see as they're transitioning from corporate into a nonprofit, is they have said yes to the call, they've said yes to the purpose, and then they get into it to realize raising money can be a really big challenge. And so I talk to people about networking, about building rapport and developing relationships and that kind of a thing. So long before you have employees and you have a number of people that are helping with your vision, it's developing those core partners that can help see you through, because a lot of nonprofits fail to make it because they don't adequately understand how to fundraise. And they don't understand nurturing relationships with partners. And so that's where people, you know, anybody, as soon as you, if you have somebody who's very corporate minded and somebody very ministry minded, when you start to talk about money, the corporate personality is like, yeah, $50,000, that's no big deal. And to the nonprofit, they're like, $50,000, we don't see that in a year, you know, kind of a thing. And so it gets, you know, it's a very different mindset. And I almost think that it would be almost easier to go in blind, not really thinking about the money that it takes and that kind of a thing, to really just say, you know what, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. I'm going to create a financial plan. I'm going to work with my partners, and I'm going to network at events, sharing what good this organization can do. And that's where, unfortunately, if you don't have somebody sharing, if you as the nonprofit founder or the director or whatever your role is, if you're not using social media and using email to reach people, your organization won't grow. And so then it becomes that next mindset is there is an element of business that still runs at a nonprofit, that most people inside a nonprofit or ministry, they don't want to see it as a business. They want to see it as it's 100% a ministry. And I'm like, well, this is where that next mindset and that learning curve of you'll have bills to pay, you'll have audits that you have to make it through. And so it kind of helps people realize it's not just however the wind blows, you can do it. There are still guidelines that you have to follow. And so that's that administrative side that comes in that I can help people and say, this is how you can put these things together. This is who I'd recommend that you work with for your accounting services. You know, this is who I'd recommend that you use for your email marketing, that kind of a thing. So really it's, you're not stuck in the position of having to do all the research and start from scratch. I really do try to lay it out where I would say, this is, you know, probably your first 10 steps on what to do. And then a lot of it becomes, you repeat those steps. You keep networking, you keep building relationships, you keep investing in your partners, you keep doing the mission, you clarifying the mission and vision casting for your audience. And when people start to back down from having the courage to cross that bridge, to really say, I feel like this is what I'm called to do, it's often because one of those mindsets has come into place and it's gotten a hold of them where they're not willing to let it go, that there really becomes almost even a scarcity mindset of there's not enough support available or there's not enough money coming in. And that's where you really have to counterbalance, like, what's the faith that God has, what did he call you to do? What steps did he take you to do? What was the last thing he told you to do? And are you doing that? If not, then let's get going on what he's told you specifically to do. And do we need to look at the way you're saying it, or are you offering an open house to invite people into what your nonprofit is doing? And I love how you use the analogy of the bridge. For years, I've used the analogy of being on monkey bars, because I feel like it can be this, you know, you start, you climb this little ladder and you get your hands firmly placed on that first bar. And that's in your everyday, everything is safe, secure. I've got a paycheck coming in every 2 weeks. And as you move across the rungs, that's as you move into ministry. So you're letting go of one hand in order to reach out for what's in front of you. But there's still that transition point where you have one hand still in that full-time job, that paycheck that's coming in every 2 weeks, and the one hand that's reaching out saying, I want to build my board members. I'm going to write my bylaws. I'm going to get my nonprofit registered with the IRS. I'm going to develop the website. I'm going to work on building partners. And there's that momentum that has to build while you're swinging. So it's not a stagnant. You can't just stay there and hang, or you're going to get stuck and eventually your hands are going to get tired and then you fall. And my goal is to help people understand that momentum that they have to build while swinging from one rung to the next rung, that timing. And every person, it's different timing. And eventually some people, they move, they let go of where their first, you know, where their hand was on the back bar, and they move it up to where they're fully engaged into the nonprofit. They've let go of the, of their corporate job or the full-time job that they had. They let go of the steady paycheck and the insurance benefits, that kind of a thing. And they are fully engaged in what their nonprofit is able to do. And it's awesome to see that. The length of time, and this is, and it's different for every person. For this last organization that I helped, they were up and running within 6 months, had employees, had housing in place. They had women who were coming out of sex trafficking living in their residential program. So it was a very quick setup.
It's wonderful.
But that's not always the case. And so you see others where you're like, it's 2 or 3 years in and I'm still with my corporate job and I'm still trying to build this. And so that's the other thing, that swing of that momentum or that crossing the bridge, that timeline, it doesn't have a, by month one, you'll be here, month two, you'll be here. And I think that's where people can then say, I can't put pressure on myself that by September, I'm going to have this done. And by the end of the year, I'm going to have this done, because it doesn't always work that way. Just the same as if you were building a business, there's no exact scientific step of timeline that's going to happen. So really you have to partner your action steps with reminding yourself with the call of God, that what he placed on your heart to do and what he's called you to do, he's the one who's faithful to complete it. And we have to put one foot in front of the other, or swing and move one hand in front of the other as he guides and directs those steps.
And, you know, I love how the analogy with the monkey bars, because I was thinking, oh, yeah, you have to keep swinging and you have to have momentum. And, you know, it's interesting about transitions. You know, we're always closing one chapter of our life and opening a new. But if we keep rereading that last chapter, we're never going to be able to embrace and live in that new chapter. So that's what I visually see of the those that are still holding on to that one rung. And it does take courage and it does take faith, and to believe that, yes, I heard the Lord call me, and to be able to find someone like you, Melody, that I can just hear your passion. I mean, just listening to you, I can just hear confidence. I mean, people who get to sit at your feet and go through your course, I could just see how their confidence would build, because you're really giving them a blueprint of how to make what God has called them successful. You know, because we're called to go into these specific places in the world to make an impact, to make a difference. I love the organization that you're helping with the sex trafficking, because that is so needed. Thank you for that. Thank you for helping them. So I know that you probably covered some of the things in the course, but can you just briefly, like your soaring system, just go over mm-hmm. each letter and what it stands for?
Absolutely. Well, I want to kind of take a step backwards to tell you really how the soaring system came to place. And then, yes. and then I'll break down what each letter stands for.
Absolutely.
So having grown up in ministry, being, you know, a ministry kid from grandparents being worldwide evangelists to parents in ministry, to a mom who's still a traveling evangelist, I've gotten to see the good, the bad, the hard, the ups, the downs, you know, the pull that ministry can have on relationships, that kind of a thing. And one of the things, and really a lot of this comes from my personal experience. So from other nonprofits that I've helped with putting things together. And when I went to really figure out what's the best way that I can help. And that's where God reminded me of Isaiah 40, verse 31. And so that's how the whole soaring system came together, because it came out of my own fatigue and being tired within running my own race and not really knowing what to do and kind of feeling like I got into a position where I was more spinning my wheels than making an impact. And so the scripture says, Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so my hope for every ministry leader that I encounter is to help them establish a foundation that they can build their ministry on, so that when they feel like the emails aren't, you know, coming to an end, or the need to help somebody, you know, that there's no break from it. Because that's almost like a hidden side of ministry, is that once you're into it, there's never a shortage of people who need help. So once you help one and they're good, they're on their feet, there's still the next one to help. And so in that, I want to make sure that people can have things in place so that the ministry that God has called them to do does not wear them out to where they mm-hmm. eventually say, I'm done. And that's what also I've seen, is that people get so tired and so run down because they don't remember how to take care of themselves. They don't remember what that first goal was. They've kind of built this machine and now they have to keep maintaining that machine, when that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to do that. So my goal is to help every leader to soar, to run, and to walk without becoming tired. And so that's where the soaring system came from. And so I look at that, and it's really a structure so that as you're going through the course, you can see the progress of how each layer builds upon the next one. So the first layer, that first one, the S, is self-development, where we really focus on developing the heart of a leader. What does the Bible say? So there, it is a very much a Christian leadership development program for people who are called to ministry, because I share my faith and I share my journey through this. And the self-development, you know, you can get a lot from reading John Maxwell's books. And in fact, because I'm certified with him, I reference his materials, because I feel like reading his books and sitting in his mentorship was how I developed my leadership skills. And it's, you know, like, why not go to the genius, you know, when it comes to leadership? And so I pull in a lot of the great things that I've learned and how it specifically applies to ministry, but also pulling in scripture. And then the O is overcoming obstacles and increasing personal organization. Those obstacles are going to be the mind monsters, the I don't know if I'm called to this. And what I love is by every single person who has walked through this course with me, who's still in mentorship with me and coaching. Because when you get the course, you get to have lifelong access to the course and to weekly coaching. And it is overcoming obstacles, the confidence that people have from getting through the self-development and really recognizing the mind shift that needs to take place so those mindsets can be addressed that happens. But then even tying in that personal organization, where they understand, this is my map. One of my mentors, she would always say, you need a map, which is a massive action plan. What are you doing? And how do you get there? Because the map is going to be your guide. So if you can put those action steps in place and even breaking them down where they're more attainable, it becomes where you know what you're doing, you know what your organization is doing, you know the direction that you're growing in. So next we go into affirmations and self-care, because after being in ministry for so long, that's what I've recognized, is that so many leaders put their health last. Mm-hmm. They put their rest last. They, you know, they burn the candles at both ends all the time, you know, and then we see some people who go on sabbatical and they never come back. And so my goal with that session, and that was also one of the ones that people had the greatest takeaways, was the importance of bringing in self-care. And I even share the health struggles that I've had, the two trips to the ER, multiple little back-to-back surgeries, that kind of a thing. And I'm thankful that at this point, it's now been a year of really good health. And if you see me on Facebook or Instagram, you can see even my health is taking another step to it, to improving weight loss and getting better, healthier habits in place. And so I'm not just teaching this. I'm saying, you know, from a place of having lots of disease in my body to finding better health and creating better habits of health. And so I'm not just saying, hey, this is a good idea for you. This is I know this is what you need because I've walked it. The next is relationships. The R is relationships. And I think part of that is it's developing your team. It's having a great relationship with your board members. It's strengthening those relationships. And then we move into improving communication, because as the director of a nonprofit, you need to be comfortable public speaking, whether it's one-on-one, one on a small group, or one on an audience. So we talk about those elements and even how to put together your message so that as you're making a presentation, you're confident in what you're sharing so that you can cast the vision. That was one of the things that a lot of leaders said they struggled with, is how do I cast the vision so people can catch it? Mm-hmm. So we cover that specifically in improving communication. The next one is navigating emotions. These have all come from me really seeing what have been those hard moments that I needed to work through and grow through. And navigating emotions, when you get bad news right before you have to give a big presentation, you know, or somebody's giving their notice and you're like, man, I really had it planned for us to do this for the long haul, you know, to really recognizing what is the emotion, how strong is the emotion? Is this an appropriate reaction? And then really gauging that and then allowing yourself to feel it and to move through it. So it's not just something that you push down and ignore and mm-hmm. then eventually you erupt over it. So navigating right. those emotions, not only for yourself, but for helping others understand that as well. And then finally, the G, growth. There are four phases of ministry growth that every leader will go through, and every business and nonprofit will go through six stages of growth, from your ideation and your creation all the way to successfully growing, rebranding, and updating because you've sustained it for so long. And so it's really helping people understand what phase they're in so they can know what phase they're going to build to so that they can continue to grow. And then I have to give this quick little disclaimer. In the scripture, we know that God is the one that creates everything to grow. So this is a well-laid plan. It's a great blueprint to say you can go from here to here. And then I always pray and ask God to honor my efforts, honor my abilities that you've given me. And you're the one that brings increase. So God, I thank you for bringing partners. God, I thank you for establishing this ministry and helping it grow, because ultimately he is the one that creates growth. And it just reminds us that we can do everything under the sun. And if we don't submit it to him, then we won't see it grow. And that's where it comes back to the heart of the leader to really say, what's your purpose? Is it for a bigger spotlight or is it for a bigger impact? And so my goal with working with leaders is to help them really focus and hone in on what God's called them to do so that as it grows, the heart of the leader doesn't change, but the impact increases.
It's so critical to understand. Yes, you know, when we're called, you know, to go into a ministry work for the Lord, there is work that needs to be done. It's valuable work. We have to grow, but we have to be dependent on God and his ability to grow that which he placed in our heart to do. I love that you shared that, because all of us can tend to just rest on our laurels or just lean back and just let things go and not realize, gosh, there's so many levels of growth and so many ways that you could take your ministry higher and deeper to make a greater impact. So I love that that's really a part of your system. This sounds incredible, Melody. I'm going to have your information in my show notes, but how, why don't you just share with the audience how they can get in touch with you?
It's very simple. You can email me at connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, at melodybarker.com. That's a direct email to me. And you can also go to my website, melodybarker.com, where I've got information on one-on-one coaching as well as a developing leaders in ministry bootcamp. So those are available. And if you're like, I'm not quite ready for, you know, a bootcamp, then I would recommend my book. It's on Amazon, The Business of Ministry. So it's very simple. It's a great how to get started guide, really understanding where you are and how to go forward. So those are three great ways. You can email me, connect at melodybarker.com, visit my website, melodybarker.com, or check out my book on Amazon, The Business of Ministry.
I have read your book and it is fabulous. So everyone who's listening, I highly recommend that you get Melody's book and also sign up for her boot camp. Just listening to you today, Melody, you come with so much value, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You've been there. You do have a legacy. Why don't you tell our audience who your grandparents and who your mother is?
Okay. So my grandparents are Charles and Frances Hunter. They were also known as the Happy Hunters. And they were one of the first ministries to really do really big crusade type ministries. And they're one of the very few ministries that can gather multiple churches together. So they would actually rent out arenas. They would send, this is so old school, VHSs and little workbook packs out to churches and say, let's do this healing school event together. Watch these materials, train up your team. And in 3 months, we're going to meet at the Astrodome, or we're going to meet at the Coliseum, or you know, some big arena that they would rent out. And they would bring all these churches together. And then they would advertise with billboards and newspaper ads and that kind of a thing saying, do you need a healing? And they, all these people would come in and almost all of them would get healed. I mean, miracle after miracle would happen. It was amazing. I just love them. In fact, even in my room and in the office that I'm in right now, I have a little picture of them just over my shoulder. So kind of everything that I do, I want their blessing and their legacy to be touching it. And then my mom is Joan Hunter. You can find out more about Joan and about my grandparents if you go to joanhunter.org or I'm trying to think, because we redid their website, happyhunters.org. I think it's super cute. That was one I got to have my hands in. And so even to this day, my mom still teaches. She travels around the world. She's been recently, she went to Africa. There's no major country that she hasn't been into. And that's who I traveled with for so long. And so helping her really get to the position where they are as far as developing the partnership program that's in place, the mentorship program that they have in place, organizing their local events, from bringing people in to helping her travel, writing for her television show. There's really not a part of ministry that I haven't helped with or helped organize, that kind of a thing. And so it's awesome to get to still even see the ripple effect of things that I put in place a number of years ago are still happening. And I'll even kind of put this out there for those of you who are considering moving from your corporate job into a you're at that beginning of the bridge where you really feel like God's calling you to cross this bridge. I want to encourage you to send me an email. Let's have a conversation, just literally 100% a free consultation to be able to hear you out for where you are and what you feel like are going to be those next steps in front of you. So a year and a half ago, I actually stepped in to full-time self-employment into coaching. So I did this, I would say I did the same thing as far as transitioning, even though I was already in a nonprofit, I still had a great insurance benefits and a steady paycheck every 2 weeks to God really said, I'm giving you an option. What do you want to do? And I said, I'm going to trust you in this. And he said, then you need to put it in your notice. And so I did. So after 12 years of being full-time working in ministry, I put in my notice. And since then I've been helping nonprofits and I'm able to help them more freely because I have the time and the energy available to do it versus before it was more limited. And so it has been awesome to see God's faithfulness in this year and a half of bringing people in, whether it's small projects, just something short and little, to something that's long-term and still going on. And even to as recent as a couple of days ago, I was just praying and I said, God, do you want me to keep helping ministries grow, or do you have something else for me? You know, and just being willing. And then that's part of being in ministry and having this faith and this walk with God, is to say, I'm doing what you've called me to do, but is it time that I lay this down and step into the next thing? And I literally went to my phone for a text message from my sister saying, hey, I need your help with this nonprofit that I'm the president of. I didn't even know she was the president of this nonprofit, because I'm like, she's already so busy. But it's just awesome how God begins to confirm his word and starts to speak, you're going in the right direction. So I just want to encourage you, if you're listening today, that God will fulfill the vision that he's placed inside of you. And it is a huge step of faith, but it also has great rewards. And I know I don't want to take up too much more time because I know we're about out of time. But
I do have a question. First, I'm glad I asked you about your legacy, because you know, hearing your legacy is also validation of that you've been there, you've seen it, and you know what to do. So thank you for sharing your legacy, and I've personally seen your work at Joan Hunter's organization. It's been phenomenal. So kudos for that. So yeah, in closing, I have a final question for you. And I want you to think about the audience. And as you were just alluding to, anyone who's considering, you know, leaving corporate and going into ministry, maybe two things that you would advise them to let go of, and maybe two or three things that you would want them to hold on to as they're making that transition, and then we'll end.
So it's really funny that you would ask me that. I God had put it in my heart to put my notice in, and this was January of 2021. So we had just come out of 2020 having, you know, kept everybody on staff. And I was the director of operations at that point for the nonprofit, and kept everyone on staff, kept all the bills paid, took care of our partners, all of that. And at the end of 2020, God told me by the end of 2021, you won't be at the ministry anymore. And that was the first thing that was kind of like the first, really, I knew a big change was going to be coming, because as part of my legacy, I was building on what my grandparents had done, built on what my mom was currently doing, and building to what I really thought the future was going to look like. And so it's great, the timing of this question. And I was reading John Maxwell's The 15 Laws of Growth, and one of the things that's in there, and I was laughing because I'm like, how funny is God that I would be reading this right now? And what he was talking about was that in order to grow, there are things that you have to let go of. And at the end of the chapter, it's like this series of questions of, are you willing to let go of this in order to get this? Are you willing to let go of this in order for this? And the two questions that were in there were, are you willing to let go of financial stability for the potential of what's to come? And that's not exactly word for word what it says, but off the top of my head, that's the best. And that is because as a single female, as a homeowner, it's the idea of, if I quit my job, then I don't have a steady paycheck coming in, and I don't have insurance benefits mm-hmm. anymore. And so it was really, am I willing to let go of the stability? And I have had a job since I was 16, and I don't care how old I am because I love it. I'm 41. So I've had a job since I was 16. I've had a steady paycheck since I was 16 years old. And how in my mind that I'm like, how can I make sure I keep everything taken care of? And so I want to tell you, that's one of those big things, but it's the question, are you willing to let go of this known for the unknown? Are you willing to let go of the limits that you're facing right now in order to see new limits or new potential? And that's what I feel like has been probably the greatest outcome. I have not paid a bill late. I have not had any, I've stressed about some jobs, but I've also reminded God, like, hey, you called me to step out, so I'm doing what you called me to do. So I need you to bring the clients and bring the calls. And he has. And I know other people have not had that same, I would say, easy go of it, you know, kind of a thing where everything has been on time. But for me, I'm very thankful that I was able to get different insurance. I was able to take care of the, you know, medical bills that had come in from my health issues mm-hmm. in 2019 to 2020. So all of that's paid off now. And I've been able to see the faithfulness of God. And that's really over all of this that I would want to encourage you to look for as you face any transition, to really trust that the hand of God is on your life, and that you'll see his goodness and you'll see his faithfulness, and that you'll see his mercy surrounding you and following you. And I pray that that God blesses the work of my hands. And for those of you that are listening, you're like, I'm so tired of being in my corporate job, I just want something different. Then make a plan. That's going to be the next thing. So let go. Don't quit your job. Like, don't just walk in and give your notice. Like, put a plan in place, have that massive action plan in place. Say, I want to have this timeline. I need to have this much money in savings. I need to pay off as much debt as I possibly can. Cause you're going to want to create some security for when you step out. And then honestly, be willing to pick up side hustles as your ministry is growing, because that may be what it is. And when I was talking to my dad, sometime in the middle of last year, I had told him, I said, well, I'm doing this. And he was like, baby, everything is a side hustle until your main hustle picks up.
You know, so I love that.
And that can just be, you know, just a reminder, you know. And I'm overly optimistic at times. And I just thought that it was going to be gangbusters, and everything was going to set off like fireworks and be in perfect timing. And God has had to increased my faith, and I've had to understand that it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. And so I think that that's kind of the trade-off of really letting go of unrealistic expectations, putting your map in place so that you can see these are the action items that I need to be moving forward with. Because, I mean, and I'll even be really honest with you, it was probably about 6 years ago that God started showing me I was going to be leaving. I just didn't see the signs. So it was when really things started to get serious in at the end of 2020 to the beginning of 2021 that I was like, I now recognize that my season is up. He's given me little warnings and little things. And so I would just tell you, if that's where you are, pray and ask God to open your eyes to see the steps that are in front of you, to see that transition bridge, and to help ask him to help identify those steps that you know are in front of you. And then be willing to take the first step and see and just watch God's faithfulness show up and show off, because that's what he does. It's just awesome.
Well, that's a perfect way to end our podcast. I hope everyone who's listening finds the encouragement and the faith to believe that what you're hearing, you're called to do. And now today you got to meet a coach that's going to help you get organized and build and grow the ministry that God has called you to. So I highly recommend that you reach out to Melody. Melody, thank you for being with me today on the Transition Bridge podcast. And I want to thank all of you that have come to listen, where we come together as a village to embrace, grow, and be transformed by the purpose and power of our transitions.
Thank you for joining us today on the Transition Bridge podcast. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed listening today, please go ahead and subscribe or review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the show notes. And for more information about Debbie, go to debbieronca.com. That's debironca.com.